You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
God wants His Word to permeate every area of your life, no exception. He wants it to be a part of your business ethic. He wants it to guide you in the way that you raise your children. He wants it to show you what your priorities in life ought to be.
Pastor Greg Laurie says the Bible shouldn't be optional reading for the child of God. It should be part of our diet.
If you want to be successful spiritually, you must love and study the Word of God.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Cowboy doesn't ride a horse without holding the reins. A ship would never leave port without a rudder. A driver would never pull out of the driveway without his steering wheel. Well, as Christians, we need the same kind of direction, and God hasn't left us wanting. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie shows us the importance of God's Word. He's currently isolating those components that will help us lead a truly productive walk with God. More help is waiting for you at harvest.org.
Hopefully, we all want to experience spiritual growth and success. And we all know people who have been failures in the spiritual life. Maybe even some of us listening right now would say, you know, I don't feel that I'm really doing all that well. I know others that have just sort of taken off in their relationship with Jesus, but I still am floundering and I am still struggling and I've never been able to really get this together. Well, I want to share with you in the next few weeks some principles that will help you to grow spiritually and will help you to be successful in your walk with Jesus Christ, because I believe God can and will change every person who has come to Him. So that brings us to principle number one of being successful spiritually. This is so simple, it's so basic, some of you will say, well, duh. But at the same time, there are so many people that don't do this. Principle number one, if you want to be a successful Christian, you must read, study, and love the Word of God. That brings us now to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is about the Word of God. It tells us five important things we need to know about the Bible, things that will help you in your spiritual growth. And I'd like to read verses 7 to 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. Let's pray. Father, as we consider the power of the Word, help us to see it and hear it with new eyes. Give us a hunger and a thirst for what you will say to us through Scripture, your inspired Word to each of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, what do we learn here? It says the law of the Lord. Understand that phrase, law of the Lord, is a Hebrew term and is used to define Scripture. So we could just as easily put in the Word of God or even the Bible. The Bible is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. I mean, where are you going to turn in a time of crisis? When tragedy hits? When disaster strikes? When you don't know where to go, People Magazine, Your favorite website? The morning newspaper? The evening news? Hardly. You're going to need something that will give you strength and direction in your time of need. And that will come from the Word of God. One writer said, and I quote, "One gem from that ocean is worth all the pebbles from earthly streams," end quote. And that's so true. Just a pebble from the ocean of God's Word can make all the difference in the world. How many in their affliction have found comfort from Scripture? One person wrote, "He who rejects the Bible has nothing to live by, neither does he have anything to die by," end quote. And I can tell you from personal experience, I have put the Word of God to the test. I have trusted in what it has said, and it has sustained me and given me direction and hope and comfort when I needed it. And you know, little platitudes or clever little sayings don't do it, but the Word of God does. And I urge you, get a good foundation in this book, because it's only a matter of time until hardship will strike you, affliction will strike you, tragedy will strike you. It happens in every life. There are no exceptions. But if we have a foundation in the Word of God, we'll be ready for it when it comes. Don't wait till then to try to catch up. Get that foundation now. Know what the Bible teaches. That's why we're going through this series together that we're calling Essentials, to give you a foundation to build upon in the Word of God. Because things and trends and theories and philosophies come and go. Things are in and out of style. But the Word of God is never out of style. It's never out of date. This morning's newspaper is going to be lining the birdcage in just a matter of time. Or if you'll find some other purpose for it, wrap fish in it, whatever. But the Word of God will always be relevant. As the psalmist said, "Your mercies are new every morning." The Word of God, the psalmist says, is perfect. That can be translated, it's whole, it's complete, it's sufficient. I don't need to add to it. I don't need to take away from it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God," or literally, "it is God-breathed." That means that the Bible is God's infallible Word. The original autographs, that is, the first copies, were without errors. There are no mistakes. There are no contradictions. It is perfect. Even with a recent discovery like the Dead Sea Scrolls, where an older version of some writings are discovered, we find that they are still the same. The Word of God is perfect. You can depend upon it. It has stood the test of time. It is God's gift to us. Number two, the Word of God transforms us. The Word of God transforms us. Look at verse 7 of Psalm 19. "The law," or the word of the Lord, "is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple." This phrase, converting, can be translated, it revives us, it restores us, it transforms us. You see, when you read God's Word, it will revive you. It will restore you. It will change you. Now, if you don't need to be changed, then maybe you don't need the Bible. If you've got it all together and you don't have any questions and you don't have any conflicts and you feel your life is perfect, then I guess you don't need the Bible. But if you're like the rest of us and you're aware of your weakness and you're aware of your inadequacy and you're aware of your need for God, then you will be thankful to know that the Word of God is perfect and the Word of God can transform you and help you to be the person God has called you to be. But it's not just enough to read it. You must process it, and then you must obey it. You must do what it says. James 1:22 says, it's a message to obey. And if you don't obey, you're only fooling yourself. You're like a person who looks at their reflection in a mirror and doesn't do anything about it. It's sort of like, you know, you think you're looking pretty good and you notice people are laughing at you. Why are they laughing? I didn't say anything funny. And you go into the restroom and you check yourself in the mirror and go, oh, that's why. There's something maybe on your face, a noodle there from your spaghetti just stuck to your cheek. You didn't feel it somehow. You pull it off. Good. Now, what if you went in and saw this problem? Oh, look at that. That's something. Yeah. And you just walk out. That's crazy. In the same way, I come to the Word of God, it says something, it exposes an error in my life, it shows me something I need to do, and I see it. If I don't do it, I'm like a fool who looks at his reflection in the mirror but doesn't heed what I see. And the same is true when I hear the Word of God and don't apply it in my life. Number three, the Word of God gives incredible wisdom. The Word of God gives incredible wisdom. Look at verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's an interesting thing. This Hebrew word that's translated to the English word simple comes from a root that means an open door. It's the idea of a person who has a mind like an open door. Everything comes in and everything goes out. You've heard of In-N-Out Burger? It's like In-N-Out Brain. It goes in one ear and goes out the other. It's the kind of person that would say, hey, you know, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm good with that. I think that's true. And then they'll also say, and I also believe in UFOs and black helicopters, and I'm certain that Elvis is still alive. You know, they're just sort of open to everything. Hey, if you want to believe that, that's cool. I believe that too, but I also believe all these other things. That's the kind of mind this is speaking of. But the Word of God can make a person like that, a simple-minded person, into someone who is wise. And thus they can develop a biblical world view. So I'll see this world and culture as God wants me to see it. That's why it's so important to understand what it says. Number four, the Word of God is right. The Word of God is right. Verse 8 of Psalm 19. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. In Hebrew, this means that the Bible has set out the right path for us to follow. We don't have to lose our bearings in the fog of human opinion. We don't have to let our fickle emotions lead us about. We have a more sure foundation, the Word of God. That's why it's important to read through books of the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And as I read these verses, I ask myself questions like, is there any sin identified here for me to avoid? Is there a promise here that I might claim? Is there a victory to gain? Is there a blessing to enjoy? Knowing the Word of God is right. Sometimes people will ask the question, what do you do if you come to a verse in the Bible you don't agree with? Short answer, change your opinion because you're wrong. Understand the verse contextually. Sometimes people take verses out of context. Understand the verse in its original languages. Make sure that the translation you're reading is accurate, that you've understood what the verse is actually saying. But having established that, if what you believe is different than what that verse teaches, you need to change your opinion. The objective is to conform your thinking to what the Bible teaches, not try to conform the Bible to your way of thinking. We're told in Romans 12, that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the problem we have today are people are trying to change God's Word to their lifestyle that they've chosen, or change God's Word to the things they've decided they want to do. It doesn't work that way. The Word of God is right. And if you're not in alignment with it, you are wrong. So you need to change. Number five, and finally, keeping the Word of God makes you happy. That's right. Keeping the Word of God makes you happy. Verse 8 of Psalm 19, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That's what that's implying. There's a sense of joy. Luke 11:28 says, happy are those that hear the Word of God and keep it. Did you know you can have a happy life without sin? A happy life without sex outside of marriage. A happy life without drugs and alcohol. A happy life without selfishness. God is not out to ruin your life. He wants it to be fulfilled. The happiness doesn't stop when the party's over, when you're living as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, some people have the opposite view. Their idea is that God is out to make their life miserable, and the world is where you're going to be liberated and have all the fun. And the very opposite is the case. The world is going to bring you that misery and that bondage, and it's the freedom of following Christ and living by the Word of God that will bring true and lasting happiness to you. You have God's Word on it. Psalm 1 says, blessed or happy is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the Word of God. And in it does he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he'll bring forth fruit in his season, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The psalm continues on and it says, the wicked are not so. It's not that way with a non-believer. They're blown about in the wind like chaff. So I have a choice. I can follow God's word and live a happy and fulfilled life, or I can disobey it and reap the consequences of it. If you want to be successful spiritually, you must love and study the Word of God. And not only that, but you must memorize Scripture as well. Psalm 119:11 says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Now, when I was a young Christian, I hid my Bible in the bushes. Now I hide the Word of God in my heart. God wants His Word to permeate every area of your life. No exceptions. He wants it to be a part of your business ethic. He wants it to be a part of the way you live as a married man or a married woman, or as a single man or a single woman. He wants it to guide you in the way that you raise your children. He wants it to instruct you in the way that you live your life. He wants it to show you what your priorities in life ought to be. And you're only going to find it by studying it and learning it and internalizing it and memorizing it. In closing, the Bible is the book that tells us how to know God and how to get to heaven. It's the roadmap to heaven. And if you're like me, you don't like to read maps. Well, God's Word is a very simple and understandable map to read. It's the Bible that tells us that we're separated from God by our sin. It's the Bible that tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the Bible that tells us that Jesus both died and rose again from the dead. And it's the Bible that tells us that Jesus stands at the door of our life and He knocks. And if we'll hear His voice and open the door, He'll come in. And in closing, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus to come into your life, I urge you to do it now. I mentioned earlier that the Bible is the instruction manual that we've all been looking for. And if you're like me, you don't like to read instruction manuals. You'll buy some gadget or whatever it might be, and instead of reading about how to operate it, you just pull it out and start pushing buttons. And then, of course, you invariably push the one button you were not supposed to push. And then you go to the instruction manual, and the first page says, whatever you do, don't push this button. Wow, I should have read this. In the same way, we go into life and we say, I'll just figure this out. I'll know what to do. And you make some mistakes. And then you say, well, what do I do now? And finally, you open up the instruction manual and it tells you, you shouldn't have done this. You should do this. It's the Word of God telling you how to know God. And if you're not sure if you know God right now, and if you haven't asked Christ to come into your life, you need to do that. And this book will come alive to you. Now, you can read the Bible all day long. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, it's not going to make that much sense to you. You need to have your spiritual eyes open to see what it is saying. And that starts with a relationship with Christ. So in closing, if you've never asked the Lord to come into your life, to forgive you of your sin, why don't you do that as we close in prayer? Let's all bow our heads if you would. Lord, we're thankful that you've given us a roadmap. You've given us an instruction manual. You've given us truth on the printed page that we can read with our eyes. Truth that tells us how to know you. And Lord, I pray for any person here or listening that does not yet know you. Help them to see their need for you. Help them to come to you and believe in Jesus and be forgiven of all of their sin and of the hope that they'll go to heaven when they die. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you'd like to do what Pastor Greg Laurie suggested and make a change in your relationship with the Lord today, He'll come back in just a moment to help you, so please do stay with us. If you'd like a permanent copy of today's important insight on God's Word, we'd be happy to make arrangements to send you the full message on CD. Just give us a phone call at 1-800-821-3300 and mention the title, Secrets of Spiritual Growth, Part 1. We'll be glad to help you make the arrangements. Again, dial 1-800-821-3300 or go online to harvest.org.
I have had the Harvest Calendar be part of my wall in my cubicle in my office for the past 10 years.
I love receiving this calendar every year.
It's always fresh and appealing.
Every year, a New Beginning listeners request the new Harvest Calendar by the thousands. The reasons are many.
I requested the Harvest Calendar so I could help support the ongoing ministries of Harvest Greg Laurie.
I really enjoy the beautiful art. I enjoy the scripture references and having the ability to personalize each month.
You know, Dave, every year people love to order these calendars, and they keep them up all year, which is great because it reminds them to pray for our ministry. But we also put a lot of work into the design of the calendar and into the content of the calendar. And this particular calendar for 2014 is built on the theme of Proverbs 31 that tells us what a virtuous woman looks like. You know, when we use the word virtue, we think of it as a feminine word, but in the Bible, it really isn't. It's a word that speaks of both men and women, but it speaks of influence and force and strength. And so this calendar focuses on being a person of strength.
Well, we'd like to send this calendar to you to help you maintain your spiritual focus throughout 2014. And we're sending it to say thank you for your donation. Pastor Greg, those contributions help us continue to help our listeners, don't they?
Yeah, you know, it's true, Dave. And let me just ask a question to those that are listening right now. Has this program helped you? Has there been a time when you were going through a trial and maybe something was said that really brought strength to you as you focused on the Word of God? Or maybe the Lord used this broadcast to bring you to faith, or someone you know came to the Lord listening to it. Well, listen, if you've been blessed by it, would you help us to bring the same blessing to other people? We need you to partner with us. We need you to join the team and help us to get the gospel out to the whole world. And I would ask you to prayerfully consider becoming a part of what we are doing here at Harvest Ministries and being what we call a Harvest Partner.
Yeah, Harvest Partners help with a gift each month, and the amount is up to them. Would you join the team? Go online to harvest.org and look for the words Become a Harvest Partner, or call 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300, or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Just a few moments ago, Pastor Greg was talking about the importance of getting our hearts right with the Lord. And if you'd like to do that right now, Pastor Greg wants to help you.
Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Mean it from your heart, and God will hear you. Just pray this with me now. Jesus, come into my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and rising again from the dead. Now be my Savior, be my Lord, and be my friend. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to be your disciple from this time forward. I turn from my sin, and I turn to you by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a simple prayer, but if you meant it, God heard you. And He can start changing you. And we want to help you to know what it is to live the Christian life. We put together some materials in a little packet that we call the New Believer's Growth Packet. And we'll send it to you at no charge. So if you'll write us here at A New Beginning, we will gladly send it in the mail. And God bless you. You have made the right decision.
And if you'd like to get those materials Pastor Greg just mentioned, contact us and ask for the New Believer's Growth Packet. We'll be glad to send it to you upon request. And here's the mailing address, A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or give us a phone call at 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. As you know, our calling is knowing God and making Him known. And we want to help as many people as possible know God or know God better. And so we've made all of Pastor Greg's message MP3s available online free of charge. You can download as many as you want. It's our investment in your spiritual growth. So just go to radio.harvest.org and look for the program archives on the right. Again, radio.harvest.org. And if you haven't checked out the results of this past weekend's huge nationwide Harvest America outreach, go to harvestamerica.com and be sure to watch the video. We're already making plans for Harvest America 2014, so thanks so much for your prayers and support. Your involvement helps to change lives. Again, go to harvestamerica.com. Well, next time, we'll see how prayer is one of the most powerful and important secrets to our spiritual growth. Hope you'll tune in.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.
There is a war going on, a spiritual war, a war between truth and deception. Only one thing cuts through all the lies and opinions of man. It is the truth of an ancient book, the Bible. It is God's word, God's sword.
Oh, my brother, we are engaged in a war.
Join me in Psalm 19. That is, after all, where we left off in the Psalms. But he said, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It's sure, and it will make wise the simple. Crazy thing about that. My whole life I've marveled about this. It takes a certain amount of wisdom to realize you're stupid, that you're simple. It takes a certain amount of it. The dumbest people on earth don't know they're stupid. They think they're really smart. Isn't that crazy? Don't really think about it for a second. It takes a certain amount of wisdom to realize you're stupid and that you need wisdom. Think about it. Think about how many people in your life you know that don't think they need any wisdom, and they're so dumb. You've seen people just doing crazy things. Maybe you try to give them wisdom. They don't recognize wisdom. They have no appreciation for it. Don't realize they need it. They think they're smart. They think they got it. But the simple can come to the testimony of the Lord and find it making him wise. I was working on something in my house today. And in the course of pulling a shelf apart and ripping into something, trying to make that woman happy, I found a bill. It was Ugandan currency from some previous visit of mine. I looked at it, threw it aside. My son came in at six years old. He recognized this, and all he knew is he saw a bunch of zeros. It's like 50,000 shillings, which is really very, very small money in translated into an American. But, man, he saw a lot of zeros. And he really believed he scored. He was going, what is this? Did you lose something that has five and a bunch of zeros, Dad? I said, son, I really didn't lose it. I just kind of threw it over there because it really isn't worth anything. Can I have it? Yes, you can have it. It's yours. And poor little dude, he wouldn't listen to me on that. He's thinking, I'm rich. He even said that. I'm rich. And understand inflation, the inflated value, 50,000 shillings is not much. But you see people in life really thinking that things are valuable. They seem so valuable, and they put a price on it, you know, like popularity or some degree of financial security. But those things are really, really worthless. They're really not worth anywhere near as much as what people think they are. The things that really are valuable are in this world often treated as though they were cheap. As David goes into this whole thing, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. There is, in fact, a joy that can only be known as a result of living God's way, doing things His way, and finding there the actual happiness that the lies would tell us are somewhere else. The last few hours, there was a tragedy that happened. A friend of mine texted me last night, told me about someone being shot that we both mutually knew and we both witnessed to. And my mind went back to the days where we were always together a lot. We were training. We all trained together. And we were training jiu-jitsu and, you know, this grappling stuff. And these guys always love to fight and go get in trouble. Whole gang of guys. Of that gang of guys that we gave the word of God to, it's like the total parable of the sower in this gang. But of that gang, everybody's either dead or miserable. They're young men, but they're dead or miserable, except for the one guy who received the word of God, actually received it, shared it with his wife, his family, built his house on it. And that guy's one of the elders in our church here today. And a man of God. And has found happiness there. The other guys in their pursuit of happiness have found nothing but death, relationship death, death to marriage, death to the relationship of children, or physical death. They're dying young in most tragic ways. There's a joy that comes with, there's joy in the Lord. This reality that the statutes of God, they rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Satan, the serpent, promised our first mother that she would have her eyes open, she and Adam. They would have their eyes open. They would be as gods, knowing good and evil. They would just partake of that which God forbid. But they were not enlightened. They were darkened. The human mind has been darkened ever since, and it is only the commandments of the Lord that enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It's this part, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. More to be desired than gold. And gold is a hot item today. You hardly turn on television or radio without hearing about somebody trying to encourage you into gold. Invest in gold. And they've certainly got their reasons and some wisdom to it, but there's something that's more important than gold that nobody's talking that much about. And it's the very revelation of God, the commandment of God, the law of God. It's His word. Pastor Chuck Smith, I heard him many years ago marveling out loud in teaching about how heaven, or at least the New Jerusalem, uses gold as pavement. Just dirt you walk on. The very thing, and it's purer than the gold on earth. It's so pure it's transparent. And the very thing that people will kill each other for, they will sell their soul for on earth, is dirt in heaven. It's pavement. It's stuff you walk on. That is kind of a irony, isn't it? I just think about Ben's excitement finding 50,000 shillings. Thinking, man, he struck it rich. I know his little mind is just thinking toys, toys. He's just thinking, man, I am going to Toys R Us. I'm gonna buy that store. I have 50,000 shillings. And then I suppose we've all had those moments in our life. We got all excited about some dumb thing on earth. And what is more to be desired? What do we find ourselves desiring? When you use the word desire, you think about your own human experience. What is it we desire? What satisfaction? What bliss? Or is it like most of our generation? They're not looking for anything other than just pleasure, pleasure on the level of ecstasy, and that lust for that drives so many people into horrible chemical addictions, horrible bondages, drugs, drink, just desiring. It is crazy what people will do just to this desire. Once it is fed, it grows and grows and becomes all-consuming. And there's no better example to me than the crack addict or the meth head who's turning into a walking zombie and doesn't care. Can see it in the mirror every day. They're gaunt and they're sucked up, and their eyes, everything about them, their teeth are just decaying progressively. Every day they look in the mirror, they see that, but it doesn't matter, for they must have the precious. Got to have the precious. And they desire it, that thing that will bring them that ecstasy. They can just visit this place. They can't stay there because the drug wears off, so they got to go places in their half-dead state to steal more money to get back to that place, to experience that. What do you desire? What is it that your heart desires? Is it the ultimate romance? Do you live just in love with the idea of being in love? A lot of people do. A lot of people sort of, you know, feed that with novels, and feed it with films, or they feed it with, you know, vicariously following the ups and downs of all the celebrity relationships, or they feed it with, you know, actual, like that lady, that poor lady the Lord Jesus met by the well, and he talked to her about thirst. That woman was thirsty. She'd been married five times. Five! You know, you'd think you'd give up after like two, maybe three. You'd think, you know, at some point you go, this ain't working. She was committed, that woman. She was like, no, I'm going to find it. That was the wrong guy. All right, number two was the wrong guy. Number three was the wrong guy. Number four was the wrong guy. But fifth one, he'll be it. He will deliver. He'll be what I'm looking for. No, him not either. Finally, she does give up on the idea of marriage, and she just settled with cohabitation. She's going to shack up with somebody, which she does. And the Son of God sets her up by going, hey, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. Exactly. You don't have a husband. You've got something, but that's no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands. What you have now is no husband. Just that sentence. That's all that is. It's that little sentence. She goes, run into town and go, come and see the man who just told me everything I ever did. In her mind, that was everything she ever did. Her life was, I've gone from one marriage to another, to another, to another, 5 times. What is it that you find your heart desiring? There are some people who think, you know, I would give anything. Talking about desire, like, I would give anything. If my father would just once tell me he approves of my life, or he's proud of me, one, just once. Then there are people who live with that desire, and it affects everything they do, their longing. What do you desire? What is it you desire? Because maybe it's not gold. But David here with this psalm is taking a thing that's commonly desired, the most common thing. Because people think, if I had the gold, I could get that other stuff. Everything else, gold, if I had the gold, if I had that, that will, you know, it's like Ben thinking 50,000 shillings is going to translate into pleasure, happiness at Toys R Us. I'm going to take him to the bank, like on Friday, with that, just to help him. Help him see. More to be desired are they than gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Sweet. What is he talking about? What is more to be desired? What is sweeter? The revelations of God through his word. You guys understand this? Listen to me. All you people in this room, my dear friends, my brothers and sisters, those of you guys who are new to the Bible, who are new to spiritual things, whatever, listen to me. The thing that will actually bring satisfaction, will bring pleasure. David testifies to us that it is the law of God. It's the revelation of God. It's sweeter. But it's kind of a sweetness. It's different than all the stuff of the world. Stuff of the world sort of is an instant gratification type of thing with sweet now, pay later. But the law of God, it's got a sweetness to it that lasts and that grows and that's eternal. More to be desired than gold, sweeter than the honey. And then verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And the keeping of them, there is great reward. It pays, guys. It pays. It pays off. It's one of the things I am really liking about getting older. It's one of the few things I like about getting older. One of the few things is being able to have parallel lives and people that started their journey, you know, or people whose journey kind of came parallel to mine. And the longer you live, the more you have the opportunity to see there is reward. Yes, even the ultimate reward is in heaven. No, it ain't your Joel Osteen concept of your best life now. I'm not into that whole prosperity. You know, you can be awesome now, but there is some legitimate payoff in this life. Yeah, you're hated and you're mocked and people will think you're a fool. But the fact is, the Son of God said, wisdom is justified of her children. It pays off. And the longer you live, the more you get to see it. And the more you actually have the chance, the opportunity to look around and see that those who are living in contradiction to the word of God, they're also experiencing reward, but it's not what they wanted. It's a punishment, penalty, consequences. You sow, you reap. In keeping of them, there is great reward. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? There's one for you. Who? Who can understand his errors? We waste a whole bunch of time trying to figure out the why. Why do I do that? Whatever that might be. The thing you don't want to do, you find yourself going, no, what is wrong with, why do I do that? David says it plainly here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, implying rhetorically that none of us can. None of us can understand the error of our ways. Who can understand that there is no logical reason? See, that's the problem. We start looking about, well, now why did I do that? We likewise, you know, we ask that as disciplinarian parents to our children. They do something and we go, now why? What is wrong? Why did you do that? What is wrong with you? The answer is ultimately because you reproduce the sinner. That's why they do that. It's your fault. Because you reproduce them. You're a sinner, they're a sinner. They got it from you. We waste a lot of time asking these questions. Who can understand his errors? And then this prayer, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Secret faults, now there's a couple different ways of looking at that. There are some that are only secret to the people around you, but you know about them. But check this out. There are other faults that we all have that we don't even know we have. That's how messed up we are. There are things that are wrong with us and things that we do wrong that we don't even know are wrong. I hope none of you guys have the misunderstanding that God's forgiveness is dependent upon you for, confessing. As you understand confessing. If you understand confession to mean, like the Catholic Church teaches, that you got to keep an actual record of every kind of sin and know what kind of sin it was, that you got to do all of that and go through all of that with your priest, you're going to be miserable. If you don't understand biblically that confession is just saying the same thing as God says. God says you're a sinner, and you go, I agree with you. I am. It's true. I've proved it. I am a sinner. God, you're right. And I am still one today. I know I've done wrong. But there are things wrong with us that we don't even realize. We're so focused on one thing that we do know is wrong that we're not even aware of other things. It's that whole thing. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Not just secret faults, but presumptuous sins. They're the things that we jolly well know are wrong, and we do anyway. Presumptuous. Now, you guys know that. That's just plain, I know it's wrong, but I'm doing it anyway. I can't help it. Tend to, with God's help. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. That's a reality, that if we give into that which we know is wrong, it will gain dominion over us. It is in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, where it says, don't you know you become the slave to whatever you obey? If you obey it, you may get your master. You give it power. You empower it to run your life. So David says, don't let them, those presumptuous sins, have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. And I shall be innocent from the great transgression, or from much transgression. Depends on how you read that, how it's translated. This prayer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. It's not just the words. It's not just the actions that we need to be concerned with. But it's the very thoughts that all of our words and our actions generate from. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. You know, it's pretty easy for my words and my thoughts to become acceptable in my sight. How about you? Not mine, but yours. My sin and my even sinful thoughts look less bad to me than when you do the exact same thing. Or when anybody else is doing my sin, it looks pretty gross. But when I'm doing it, doesn't seem that bad. No, being right in your own eyes is really easy. I think that's why David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So that's an acknowledgement that you got a different standard than I do. I don't want to meet your standard. You guys all know what it's right, what it's like, right, to be right a lot, don't you? But most of the time, I'm not wrong very often, but when I am, I admit it. That's a lie. That's such a lie. That was a quote from Dr. Leo Marvin. From What About Bob? But I'm not right. I'm not wrong very often, but when I am, I admit it. That character expresses what most of us think. It's so arrogant. The fact is, we're wrong all the time, and we're wrong a lot. We're wrong about, compared to God, we are all so wrong. David's prayer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, must become ours. That our way of life is going to be determined by the standard of God and his word and what he's written, what he's revealed, not how we feel about it. You know, I called a guy up one time. I said, what are you doing? You're in fornication with this woman. It's not right, man. You're in a sexual relationship with this woman. You're not married. It's not your wife. It's wrong. He goes, well, I'm okay with it. You know, I have peace about it. I have peace. That peace is an illusion. That peace is really easy to come by. That kind of peace. You know why we can have that kind of peace? Because we're messed up. That's why. We can find ourselves at peace when we ought to be tormented. We just wear our conscience out enough, and it quits working. It quits bothering us. It's like that dinging bell that's connected to your seatbelt. I don't know, but I have the capacity to tune that thing out. I have the capacity to get to where I'm so numb, and, you know, it'll drive my passengers nuts. Like, you please buckle your seatbelt. But so it is with the conscience.
Hey, thanks for listening to God's Word today. Before we close the show, we'd like to tell you about a special ministry here at Calvary Chapel.
What we find in Scripture, speaking about binding up what is broken.
I'm Peggy Bruning. I'm the director of a program called Blessed Hope, which is a women's drug and alcohol program. It's not really about drugs and alcohol. It's about God restoring your life.
Seven Oaks is a men's program. It's a residential program, primarily through a relationship with God and then through daily discipline and work.
I was just always trying to find something that was going to fix what was missing.
Searching for someone something that would accept me. I found it in drugs.
My addictions, they always kind of had a hold of me, but really my life spun way out of control.
One night I ended up taking a little bit too much and found me just blue, sitting in a chair, not breathing at all.
Daily regimens of just being in the Word of God and in prayer and in constant fellowship produces change.
When I got there and heard God's Word taught, then it just grabbed a hold of my heart and I heard truth.
Taking me down to the place of a child and building me back up within 6 months to a year time to a godly man.
Teach you how to make good decisions, how to prioritize your life.
It's not about finishing a program. It's about you beginning to know Jesus Christ and having a rock that you can stand on.
The very best federally funded secular drug and alcohol programs have a cure rate maybe of 1%. We have been blessed with no less than 63%. We consider somebody totally changed when they're walking in total freedom, no longer dependent upon even tobacco.
You know, that's what the program does, is it gives you complete hope, and it doesn't just take you off the street and clean you up a little bit and put you back.
It is the Lord that is sustaining me, and me walking with the Lord is what's keeping me going.
We find the resources to keep going by the grace of God. It works through the residence fees, which cover a portion, and then the work details that we do, which go out and cover a portion. It's largely underwritten by the gifts and tithes that come to the church.
Seeing that there is someone somewhere, that there are organizations that actually provide legitimate help and gratitude, motivates people to support what it is we're doing.
We are real people
with real stories.
We had real addictions, and we have a true hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ.
Do you or someone you know need God's help in finding freedom from drugs, alcohol, or addiction? Learn more about Calvary Chapel's Residential Discipleship Ministries, Blessed Hope Women's Program, or Seven Oaks Men's Program, or support these life-saving ministries at blessedhopewomensministry.org or sevenoakstrainingcenter.org.
God's Word is a production of Calvary Chapel in Central Maine, located at 154 River Road in Orrington. If you have any questions, comments, or need prayer, please contact us at 207-991-9555, or you can email us at info@ccbangor.org. If you're in the Central Maine area, you can listen to God's Word daily on WJCX 99.5 at 9 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. You can also check out our online teaching and available resources or make a donation to help support God's Word at www.ccbangor.org.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at jimsearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and your products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.